Thanks, Worship Ben. And thank you, Shondell, for that great painting. That looks great. Let's give her a hand. That's awesome that she's doing that for us there. That's good. We're talking about Jonah this morning, third chapter, and we're talking about Nineveh as he finally gets there. And he brings a message. And this morning, today's message, boy, it's pretty small up there, but it's God messages. God sends messages. You know the icon and the apple thing with the big... God is always speaking. The whole texting kind of media thing, we love to communicate. We're communicating human beings. God created us in his image, and so we communicate. We're using more and more social media, more and more electronics. And I was just curious to find out how many texts are sent every year. And I found a stat that told me that in 2010, anyhow, a staggering 6.1 trillion texts, 6.1 trillion texts were sent in 2010 worldwide. That was up from an estimated 1.8 million in 2007. So in 3 years, it went from 1.8 to 6.1 trillion. That's how much humans are texting each other these days. In Canada alone, the stats are that we sent in 2010 56.4 billion texts, a massive 60% increase over the year before. So we're texting a lot. We're sending a lot of messages. And when you think about all that communication going and what our systems can handle these days, it's amazing. But you know what is even more amazing is that God knows every text that is sent. You think about that. God knows every text that is sent. The powerful, omnipotent God that we are dealing with in the book of Jonah knows every communication piece that is sent out there, and it doesn't blow him away. And in fact, he is communicating trillions more with his human beings here on earth because he loves us, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And it is to his glory to be in communication with the people that he has made. He is sending messages to us, and I hope that this morning, if nothing else, we'll get that message, really, that God is sending us messages. And sometimes it might seem, it might come in the big dramatic ways, and sometimes it might come in the small ways, but he's sending messages. He's sending messages of encouragement. He's sending messages of comfort. Maybe that's what you need right now. And you know, unlike human beings who don't know exactly what message to give, and sometimes especially in the electronic world, messages can get all mixed up. We all know that. But with God, his message to us is, I love you. I am compassionate towards you. I want to encourage you. I want to demonstrate my love to you. I want to correct you when that is the most loving thing. I want to give you insurance. I want to direct you. And what we see in the book of Jonah is God sending messages. The big question is, like Jonah, how do we respond? What do we do with it? Where do we go with the messages that he gives us? And we're going to get a great example of people responding to his message this morning in the most positive way possible. We saw a couple of weeks ago how Jonah received a message from God and did exactly the opposite of what the text said. He went the other direction. He went towards Tarshish. What's that? Picture on the back. Oh, okay, yeah. He went on the ship. He got on a ship. He started sailing away in the other direction. He thought this was going to be a nice cruise, some of us. And instead, it was the perfect storm. God sent a message through the storm. He's that powerful. He can send storms. Jonah, on the boat, terrified with the sailors, says they start sending messages up to their gods, and they're not getting any response. Finally, they find Jonah. Jonah knows exactly the message that has been sent. He tells them that. Jonah forwards the message on to the sailors. The sailors try anything they can to keep from throwing him overboard because Jonah knows that's the only way it's going to stop. Finally, they do. And they get a perfect calm. God sent a message to these sailors. And they responded by sending a message back saying, we receive your message of love and of mercy. And it says they send up sacrifices to God. They're given a second chance. But just like God gives the sailors a second chance, he gives Jonah a second chance. And last week, we talked about his prayer from the belly of a fish. And like Peter said last week, they pressed the spiritual reset button and and sent a message. He sent a message back up to God through prayer, and he gets spit up on land. It's always a positive outcome. So we're going to pick up the story from there, and that's where chapter 3 starts off this morning. We're going to read that, chapter 3. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh." And there we have Shandell painting us that great city. "And deliver the message I've given you." This time Jonah obeyed God, the Lord's command, and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast, put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. And then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city: "No one, not even the animals from your herds and the flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us." The final verse: "When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened." God sent a message. It's an 8-word message through Jonah, and it had incredible results. It's amazing how right at the beginning of this passage in verse 2, God just says to him, "Get up and go." And I want to imagine you to imagine Jonah sitting you in front of you this morning and telling you about this amazing story that happened to him in this whole situation. And imagine him saying to you, I would think one of the things he would say to you, having been through what he just went through: "Get up and go the first chance you get." When God says something, he would say to you, "Go and do it." You know, it's amazing how the first time God said exactly the same thing to Jonah, and that time he went the opposite direction. Now God says, same time, same place, go. It's like Groundhog Day. Ever seen that movie? It's a classic. A chance at a rerun. The previous chance he went the other direction, this time he says, you know what, I'll go. But you know, the intermediary time, can you imagine it? Jonah had completely gone the other direction and had faced terrifying situations. Can you imagine the fear that went through his heart as he's out in that storm? Can you imagine being swallowed by a fish, spending 3 days in that stinky mess? If you've ever been around fish guts, you know what that's about. And then finally, I mean, some translations say he got vomited up on land. This is not a pleasant situation. Jonah would say, you know what? Saying no on the first chance is there may be some pain between the first chance and the second chance. It's a way of saying, do it right away. God is a God of a second chance, but when you hear what God wants to say to you, do it right away. Because sometimes there can be a lot of pain in between that. You know, the great thing about God is you hear him saying the exact same thing to Jonah again, is that he does give second chances. That's a wonderful, hopeful message. And you know, just like it's shown in the book of Jonah, Jesus demonstrated that through his words as well. If you look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, it says, the Lord's anointed servant, that's Jesus, he says, he will not break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. That's what it says. It says, God does not throw out, he does not break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. Now, for us, that might not mean a lot, but for people who play wind instruments like this, the reed is something where if it's bruised, if it's split in any way, you never use it again. You just break it and toss it out. And here God's saying, you know what? God isn't like that. He doesn't take somebody and say, that person's a reject, now he's gone. He does not drop team members. God says, you know what? Even when you let the rest of the team down, I don't have to use you, but I'll choose to use you. And he does that with Jonah. The smoldering wick refers to the flax that they used, which when damp would just produce billows of smoke. It wouldn't produce any light. And usually what you'd do if it was damp and it was, you just throw it out. You would snuff it out and throw it out. But he's saying, you know, I won't do that. He doesn't throw things out and then start again with something. He says, you know what? I will delight in using people and building up my kingdom through people that otherwise might be rejected. That's the hope that God wants to, that is communicated through that second chance as he says that. But he says, I long so much that you would answer the first time, that you would not go in the other way. Because there's another danger to saying no on the first chance, or the second chance, or the third chance, that sometimes it can set a pattern in our lives. And when we get used to saying no, sometimes that no gets a little easier next time, and pretty soon we don't even know that we're saying no when God sends a message. Sometimes we might not say no in a blatant way, but we might say, you know what? God, I know your plan is this way. It might be in a relationship. It might be in our work. It might be whatever way, how we use our resources. And we say, you know what? I think I've just got a better plan. We might not have that narration going on in our minds, but in a sense, we do that. And what can happen is sometimes we don't even hear the messages anymore. You know, sometimes we look at something and we say, oh, I'm just going to go and do that. We think it's an event, but it's actually a path. It's actually a pattern. And I think there is something we can take from this story about Jonah and say, you know what? Let's answer the first time. When God's speaking, just say, God, you know what? I get your message. I'll send something back. My first response will be yes. I'll say yes to you. You know, I have some messages that are shown on my dashboard of my minivan. And one of them is an icon that shows that your engine has major problems. And then another one shows that there's a problem with the gas cap in some way. I've been to my mechanic. He's a great mechanic. He's done a great job. And he just basically has said, ignore him. Doesn't mean anything. Just ignore those messages. The problem is that I also have a message that talks about a flat tire. You know how your tire is going down? I've ignored that at my peril. But that's the problem sometimes. If we get these messages from God and we just kind of go, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me or whatever. And pretty soon we just start ignoring messages. And I think the lesson we can take from Jonah and his experience is get it on the first chance. Get up and go. Whatever he might be saying, get up and go and do that. The other thing, and this is kind of a sobering thought, but second chances only come in this lifetime. There is not a second chance after this life. And so it's very urgent. It was an urgent message to the Ninevites. It's like, there's destruction ahead. Don't go there. And thankfully, God used Jonah to do it. And God knows the call to be made. Sometimes people, we all, and that's part of the story from Jonah, we make calls on people. We say they're in or they're out. That's only God in his almighty understanding and infinite plan to make that call. But we can know for ourselves if we're saying, you know what, yes, God, I'm saying yes to you. Whatever message you're giving me, I'm willing to go there. And God definitely responds. You know, what I love about this too, when God just says, get up and go, he could have spoken to Jonah in a bunch of other ways. He could have reminded him of the disasters surrounding the first time he had sent him. He could have gone, you know, I told you so. He could have warned him about that this is the last chance. That's all he get. That he just get one chance to prove himself. He could have reminded him of his vow when he was in the belly of the whale that he made. He could have sought to persuade him of the benefits of obedience and the need of the Ninevites, but he just says, go. And you know, sometimes it's that simple. It's just, God, you're saying go, and I'm going to do that. I don't have to understand everything, and you're not threatening, you're not cajoling, you're not twisting my arm. You're just saying, go and do this. And the neat thing is that Jonah does it this time. As we read further, we find out he goes, and he takes that message, and he forwards the message just the way he got it. You know, just like you can take a message that comes to you over media and you can either choose, you know, I'm going to add to it or change it, or you can just forward it. And Jonah decides he just forwards it the way God gave it to him. And, you know, when God speaks to us sometimes too, we can forward it into our life And sometimes there might be a message that comes through our life to others. And God says, I want you to just share it. Now, there's a number of things that can mess up the message. The message can be messed up by fear or by prejudice. The message can be simple but profound. The message may be hard to hear or deliver, but the message always comes with love. That is the unbelievable thing about this, is that it is God's love that compelled him to send this message through Jonah. He says, I want these people to turn from their violence. I want them to know that there's a God of love, that they can have a whole different way of interacting with each other and the nations around them as well. And Jonah goes and he shares this. It's extremely short. It's just eight words. And he says, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Now, Jonah might have said, you know what, that's too simple. And we don't get the narration on everything he says. It could have been that Jonah looked quite different after being in a fish's belly. I mean, there was quite a gap there. He would have had to travel like 500 miles or so to get to Nineveh. We don't know what all that happened to me. It might have been people went, whoa, what happened to you? And he would have been able to explain, okay, there's a God, and he gives a second chance. But whatever it is, there was this message that was very simple. And sometimes we can take the message about God and make it very complicated. We can make it very complicated. And what God has communicated to us, and it's actually a wonderful thing about where we live and the time and space that we live right now, is that God has given us a message through Jesus. And in some ways, it's just very simple. It's like God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus. He died for you. He came back to life. He took upon himself all of the wrongs that you've done. And now you can live in his forgiveness and his grace and his favor. That's the great message of what the Bible, of what God is inviting us to forward on to others. But sometimes we get kind of fearful about it, and we might not want to pass on what Jesus speaks to us through us. I know all of us experience that at some levels or another. We come to a place or a situation, we go, can I say the name Jesus? Does it work here? And sometimes fear keeps us from going there. Sometimes it might be, too, that we experience some type of prejudicism against the other person. And maybe we prejudge them and we think, well, they'll never listen to that. Or, you know, or maybe they've got too many things against this. They're never going to hear this. Or maybe internally we're saying, you know what, I don't even know if this applies to them. I think Jonah was like that. You know, as I've studied this passage, something that really interesting that came out to me. Initially, I just thought, and it could have been fear that kept Jonah from going and going the other way because of the violence of them. But there was another thing at work, and we see it in chapter 4, and that's going to be talked about next week. Jonah had this deep kind of prejudicism against the Ninevites. And the part of the message that Jonah most had a problem with was the 40 days part. He was like, God, I want you to take care of those guys. Take care of them now. Don't give them a chance. Don't give them 40 days to change. But here was God saying very clearly, I'm going to give them a second chance. I'm giving them 40 days and they will come. And that's God's love showing through. God gives second chances. And he gives it to people who may not be great about taking directions. Jonah was one of them. Who of us sometimes, too, doesn't like to take directions? There's something internally wired into us where we go, you know, God says this. He sends a message and says, I want you to take care of that situation or that relationship or walk away from that habit. And we go, there's part of us that goes, I don't want to be accountable. And yet God says it, and he says, you know what? What I'm trying to tell you is that if you receive this, it will go well for you. God will work in your life. I can use you. It might too be that sometimes we find it very hard to explain what God's doing. You know, the Bible's full of miracles, and sometimes on a normal human level, we kind of go, you know what, I can't explain that, and it defies natural laws, so I'm not going to receive that. And God says, you know what, I'm the God who's over nature. It's really what I do. I perform miracles, and I'm willing to do a miracle in your life. It might seem like such a simple message, but if you will receive it, it will utterly and completely transform your life. And I will give you a second chance. I'll give you a second chance, and that's my third point. Instantly, I'll give you a second chance, and it will be oftentimes to those, and if you're willing to put yourself in that category, who are least deserving, I will work in your life. The people of Nineveh, they looked at it and they said, yeah, maybe we're the least deserving. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They had a fast. Sometimes when you feel sick about where you've been and what you've been doing, you don't even feel like eating. They just started fasting. But there was no fine print there for them. It was just as simple as, if you turn, and no questions are asked. And it's the same way with us today. God looks at us and he says, you know what? If you will believe in me, if you will say, you know what, beyond anything else, I want a relationship with God. I want to be in that message receiving and message giving kind of relationship. And it's so much more personal than anything in social media. It's a God who uniquely talks to us and guides us and directs us. And what we see here is a genuine, heartfelt turning by these people away from what they had done and turning to God. And I know Shondell put up the words, we repent. That's really what it means. It's, I'm turning away and I'm turning to you. That's what it means to believe. How to receive it, how to receive this message like a Ninevite, is to just say, you know what, God, it's not about what might happen. It's actually about what I want in you. I'm going to turn to you. And I want to experience all the love and the grace and the mercy in my heart that you have for me that can be mine. That's what believing means. And it's something that we just say to God. It's more of a posture in our hearts than just saying, you know what, God, I receive that message. I say yes to it. It's pretty cool in this passage too. In verse 6, we find out that the king of Nineveh, he actually hears this message, and then there's a very specific kind of way in which it talks about what he did. It says, he stepped down, he took off his royal robe, dressed himself in burlap, and sat on a heap of ashes. When you think about what it would take for the great king of Nineveh, again and again in the Bible, it refers to the greatness of the city. You know, as you look at it historically, the city was started in Genesis chapter 10 by a guy named Nimrod. Now that might not seem so great coming from a guy like that, but it actually tells about the exploits of this guy, and it was a phenomenal history that this city had. The people there would have had an incredible pride. I'm from Nineveh. And they demonstrate that in the way that they conquered others. But here is the king, you know, he hears this message and he could have just kind of said, you know what, I'm bigger than that. Message doesn't apply to me. Or he could have actually kind of tried to stomp it out, kind of squelch it. This is a threat to his power. You know, a bit of an Arab Spring was happening in his city. But instead he says, you know what, this applies to me. And he shows very physically his humility in receiving it. And you know what, that's the great news, that whenever we humbly come to God and say, you know what, God, I need your grace, I need your mercy, I need you in my life, I need you to direct me. Without you giving me directions, I can end up at sea, I can end up in a mess of whatever. I want to go there. I want to do that. And like Peter talked about last week, it just simply comes through prayer. Just saying, God, you know what? This morning, I receive your message. And you know, there's something else unique in this passage that I think is really worth noting. You know, these folks, the Ninevites, and it actually was shown through the sailors as well on the ship, they're people who don't know a lot about God. They might know very little about God. All they knew is that they needed his mercy. And there's an interesting verse here. It says, where the king says, who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. You know what? What we know today is fundamentally different than what these guys knew. The fact is that all of what God would put on us for the wrongs that we have done, he actually put on his son Jesus. And John chapter 3:16, and that's a very familiar verse, it talks about it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, the great thing is, it's not like a faint hope kind of thing, like, oh, maybe you'll do that, God. It's actually a promise. It's there. We know that God has done that through Jesus. He actually took on himself everything. So with rock-solid confidence, we can be here this morning and say, you know what, God? There's a message you're telling me about this, whatever that thing is. And I'm turning from that, and I'm turning to you. I'm turning to the kind of love that you would demonstrate through Jesus. And I know that I'm forgiven, and that I get a fresh start, that I am guaranteed a second chance. That's the beauty of receiving God's message. And that's what we want to invite you to this morning again. And I want to invite everybody, we're going to close now. If the worship band would like to come up, we're going to pray. And I want to invite you to stand as we're going to close with a song. If everybody would stand, and I'll just close with a word of prayer. There's a great kind of message of hope here. There's a great message as we head into this week that God loves us, that he is compassionate and merciful. And whenever we receive a message, and it might be on the first, it's usually second, third, however many chances down the road, Lord knows we all need them, and we receive those chances. He says, God, I forgive you, and you are free. That's the message of hope. Peter, you got something to add? As well,
what I want to pray about, I don't have to tell you what I'm going to pray about. You just listen in, and Lord, I want to pray for the grieving community in several places this in the past few days, for the hang glider that perished yesterday or on Friday, for the community around that. Lord, pray that you would redeem that situation. For the family that lost that mother in the riding accident a few days ago in Langley, falling from a horse, we pray that you would comfort that family and redeem that situation. For my home church community, Newton, Manitoba, where the farmer that was part of my church and a personal friend lost his life in a burning as he was burning his brush in his yard, and the flames engulfed him. For that family, relatives of whom are part of our faith community here, comfort, redeem that situation. For that pastor couple that lost their life Friday or Thursday or Friday in Alberta, traveling from or to Fort McMurray, the young pastor and his wife and their two-year-old, leaving behind a three-year-old, for that grieving community in Fort McMurray, Lord, we just pray that you would comfort them, and we stand with them, and we communicate our love to all these people through you, Lord. We stand with them and pray for your comfort. We thank you that you are the God who redeems, as you've illustrated in the sermon here today. And so be with those, support them, and we stand with them in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, I just want to thank you that as we pray, and as Peter has prayed, and that you hear our prayers, just like you did for the people of Nineveh. You answer instantly. You are there to comfort, to show your compassion and your love, that is your first response. And I thank you that that's your response to us, God. As we stand before you today, I just thank you that you are there to take us and to use us. And just like you did with Jonah, you will do with us. And Lord, I just thank you that this morning we stand before you hearing your message and receiving it and saying, yes, God, may that be the posture of our hearts this week. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have a very good week. And next Sunday, we have a very special guest with us. His name is Willie Reimer. He's a pastor that I used to minister with in Calgary. He was my senior pastor, a great friend, and our conference minister for our conference of churches here in Canada. And he's going to be speaking to us in the last chapter of Jonah. So go with God, have a really great week, and we'll see you again next Sunday, if not before.